would like to take the opportunity as we begin this morning to express my appreciation, and it is a heartfelt appreciation, to the elders for the invitation to come and to be with you. I really do appreciate this chance. It's good to be with you, brethren, again. It's been a congregation that has held a special place in my life. I would like to make mention of something that we're going to be talking about this evening. This evening, we're going to be talking about a lesson that I actually present everywhere that I go. I present it everywhere that I go because I think it's extremely important. And everywhere that I go, I receive comments from individuals that it particularly pertains to. And I never know who it pertains to until after the sermon is presented. But what we're going to talk about this evening, and I do hope that you all come back, and if you know of anybody who's dealing with what we're going to be talking about, please invite them to come. Tonight we're going to be talking about, if the Lord wills, the subject of depression. But today, right now, we're going to deal with the subject of the evil days. I've been spending a great deal of my personal time lately in the study of a book of Ecclesiastes, written by Solomon, who described himself in verse 1 and chapter 1 as the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem. Actually, the entire book is a fascinating journey of discovery. And yet one particular section of that book has really caught my attention lately, and I must tell you that the words we are going to be examining this morning have come to mean more to me as the years continue just to fly right on by. And so let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1 and read what the preacher had to say. This is what we find. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, when you will say, I have no delight in them. As the preacher Solomon, coming near to what I'm going to call the end of his sermon, is offering a warning. And this warning that he is offering is especially applicable to the young. But I'll tell you what, all ages, young and old, can learn from the lessons that Solomon has to teach in the book of Ecclesiastes, and indeed in the last chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. People need to turn to the Creator when they still possess all of their faculties, when they are still able to do so wholeheartedly and with all of their abilities. Because quite frankly, as a person grows older, he or she may no longer be as capable of thinking about God, thinking about God's Word, and thinking about God's will for us. Things just get more difficult the more older you become. This is illustrated by Solomon's reference to the difficult, evil, or troublesome days. Now, the term evil days in the New American Standard is rendered evil days, and that's a literal translation of the particular word. It can also be translated as difficult or troublesome some. So what Solomon is talking about here are not days filled with sin, not days filled with wickedness, but really what he's talking about here are days that are filled with trouble and days that are filled with difficulties. And we're going to see he goes on in just a few moments to describe those days as including a number of physical ailments and breakdown. I know about some of these, and I know about them personally. For instance, hearing loss occurs with some. Eyesight begins to fade. People just aren't as strong as they used to be. Various, I'm going to call them, mental problems can arise, such as being afraid of things that never used to bother an individual. So let's go ahead and read about these evil days in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. And this is what Solomon, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, had to say about those days. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw nigh when you will say, I have no delight in them. Before the sun, the light, the moon, and the stars are darkened, and clouds return after the rain. In the day that the watchmen of the house tremble, and mighty men stoop, the grinding ones stand idle because they are few, and those who look through windows grow dim.
And the doors on the street are shut as the sound of the grinding mill is low. And one will arise at the sound of the bird, and all the daughters of song will sing softly. Furthermore, men are afraid of a high place and of terrors on the road. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags himself along, and the capperberry is ineffective. For man goes to his eternal home while mourners go about in the street. Remember him before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed. The pitcher by the well is shattered and the wheel at the cistern is crushed. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. This section of Ecclesiastes is quite frankly talking about growing old and keeping God as being the driving primary force of our lives. Keeping God at the center, even as our bodies and our minds are changing along with the passing years. And I think the first important lesson to learn about the evil days is simply this. It happens to every one of us who lives long enough. We are all going to have to endure these, what Solomon referred to as the evil days. And it's just part of God's natural plan set in motion that will include the breakdown of our physical bodies over time. And I can tell you, I think that there are a few reasons why that is so. First of all, due to the sin of Adam and Eve, mankind lost access to the tree of life. Death entered into the world with Adam and Eve when they sinned. And we're not just talking about spiritual death, although that certainly did enter in at that time, but we're talking about physical death as well. We lost access to the tree of life. And I think it's important to realize that being the case, this world is not our ultimate home. And life on this world, as wonderful as it may be, sometimes is not always easy. Vicki and I were discussing just a couple of weeks ago, how difficult life is for people who live in constant pain. And you probably know people who live in constant pain. There are a lot of them, especially older people, who do just that thing. And you know, you can get to the point when you are in constant pain of wondering, well, what purpose is it serving? Or does it serve any purpose at all? And the answer to that question is yes. That pain that you may feel does serve a purpose. And the purpose, I think, is that God wants us to long for a better place. He wants us to long for that place where our bodies will be immortal and there won't be any pain. And we'll no longer have to suffer decay and deterioration, which we are all going to suffer if we live long enough. It's important to realize, brethren and friends, that this world is not our home. And these bodies that we have, they are just temporary shelters that we are living in right now. And they are not going to last forever, these bodies. Look with me, if you would, at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 54. Again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 54. And note what Paul had to say. He said, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable would have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." But while we're at it, let's just move over one book. Let's just go to 2 Corinthians, and we'll read chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. These words also coming from the pen of the Apostle Paul through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And this is what he said. He said, "For we know if the earthly tent," that's our bodies that he's talking about there,
If our earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed, in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, shall not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, in order that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. I think those two passages from the pen of Paul help us to understand and even appreciate a little bit the evil, difficult, or troublesome days. In those difficult or evil days, we can be forced, and indeed many of us are forced, to deal with the breakdown or the deterioration of some of our mental faculties, which can and do interfere with our service to God. We live in a world that seems to be more and more filled with older people who have dementia and older people who have Alzheimer's. My father being an example, he died from the disease of Alzheimer's. And it just seems that with age, whether you have dementia, Alzheimer's, or not, there comes a diminished capability to make logical, rational decisions about our relationship with God. Look again at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, this time verse 5, and note specifically what he says. He says, furthermore, men are afraid of a high place and of terrors on the road. One of the problems of growing older is the fear of some things that we never used to be afraid of when we were younger. Young people are rarely afraid of heights. And it's pretty interesting, as you see, young people, they generally are relatively carefree, or at least act relatively carefree, as they walk upon the roads of life. But I'll tell you something, with declining physical ability, those who are getting a little bit older no longer have the same balance or the alertness that we once had. This didn't mean much to me until about, I'll say, a month and a half ago, when I really developed some rather significant neck problems. And then, totally unrelated to the neck problems, I'd never had this before in my life, suddenly, one day, I had vertigo. And I literally could not stop the walls in my house where we have pictures of our grandchildren. Alexander was going around and around and around as he sat on the wall, and I couldn't stop it. And all of the grandchildren, they were moving here, there, and yonder. I closed my eyes, I was moving. I'd never experienced anything like that before. And so I thought, okay, I'll be strong, I'll be all right. Called a doctor. Doctor came, gave me some medication, showed me some things to do, which involved jerking your neck around, and that was a rather difficult situation because I was already having the neck problems. So I figured, I'll be okay come Sunday. I'll be all right. I'm not going to call anybody. So Sunday came, and I woke up, and everybody's still spinning around. So I said, well, it's too late now to call somebody to preach for me. So I got up in the pulpit to preach, and it's the first time in my life, and I'm not kidding, I am not exaggerating at all, everybody in the auditorium was moving. Everybody was spinning around, and they weren't sitting in their same place. So I had to focus just on one spot in the back. And then when it was over, I had to have, I can't believe it, I'm only 61. I had to have someone come and help me down off of the pulpit when I was done. I finished my whole nine of the pulpit and finished that. Just help me down to the pulpit or to a pew so I could sit down. I've never experienced anything like that before, but I experienced it then. And I began to understand what declining physical abilities are all about. Normal activities, just normal activities. For me, preaching is a normal activity. And that morning it was scary because of physical limitations and loss of ability that I had had before. Suddenly, things were moving that hadn't been moving before. Then think about the loss of the ability to reason rationally. We all have heard of scam artists who make their living preying upon elderly individuals.
taking advantage of their fears and taking advantage of their inability to reason as well with clarity of thought like they used to. Who among us has not heard of some terrible individual who has stolen hundreds, if not thousands of dollars from some older person because they were able to fool them, thus leaving that older person broke and ashamed? And I have talked to older people who have been left broke and ashamed. And you know what? I really think being ashamed was worse than being broke. And there are often emotional problems. Maybe you've already noticed that older people seem to cry more easily. Older people sometimes become upset with things that never used to bother them. And they become upset because they can no longer do things that they used to do. I want to tell you something. And I'm not old by any stretch of the imagination. As I said, I'm only 61. But I'll tell you what, it can be downright tough sometimes the older you get. I've been talking primarily about some of the mental problems, but there are physical problems and breakdowns that come along that definitely hinder and interfere with our service to God. The desire may very well still be there and maybe even stronger. Because most people who are of a certain age no longer work a 40-hour work week and they have more time. But you know what happens? The body just won't let them do it the way they used to be able to when they were younger. If you look at chapter 12 and verse 3 of Ecclesiastes, we find this phrase, "Watchmen of the house tremble and mighty men stoop." This phrase is thought to refer to, by most of the scholars, the arms and the legs of one who is older. That just happens. Arms that were once strong and hands that had the grip of a vice become weaker and feeble. They begin to tremble. And the legs just don't work as well. It just happens. Mighty men stoop would appear to be referring to the back, but actually they're not. Because it probably means the legs, because in the Hebrew phrase, the wording is using the plural. And all you really ever have to do to understand what that is talking about is watch older Christians as they make their way into the church building at Northern Kentucky, where I preach there in Florence. We have a number of older members in the congregation, many of them on walkers, many of them with canes. And all you have to do is see them as they make their way into the auditorium to understand that the old legs just don't work like they used to. Solomon also wrote about the grinding ones stand idle because they are few. Brethren, do you know what that's talking about? That's talking about the teeth. Nowadays, the older people can have a full mouth full of teeth. But if you were to investigate, although I don't really know why you would want to investigate this, but if you were to investigate, you would find that there's implants, there's crowns, and there's dentures making that mouth full of teeth. And I'll tell you what, I can attest to those truths. Additionally, those who look through the windows grow dim. What's that talking about? It has reference to the eyesight. And the eyes do get worse. Cataracts do come. And I can't begin to tell you how many guys that I play golf with now say all the time, "I can't see that ball when it lands anymore. Greg, where did that ball go?" And I can't see it either. We just have to kind of figure what direction it was going in when it took off. And know that it's out there somewhere. It doesn't stop there. Hearing. Hearing begins to go with many of us. And that's the point of the sound of the grinding mill is low. Again, I can attest to that fact. I'll tell you what. A life of rock and roll before I became a Christian turned up real loud. I feel so sorry for those people when you pull up next to the kid at the stoplight or whatever it might be and you hear that boom, 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 boom. I'm thinking, I want to say, "Son, can you believe that?" I want to say, "Son." I want to say, "Son, you're going to regret that. You want to turn that down," because I never turned it down.
The hearing begins to go. And yet, Solomon addresses one of the ironies of old age. And that is that even as it becomes difficult to hear, sometimes the older individual sleeps so lightly that the slightest sound will wake him up.
That's the idea.
As we look at verse 4 and find these words, the daughters of the song sing softly. Oftentimes we're thought to refer to the lack of strength in the voice that comes about as we age. When I look at verse 5 of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, I know what the almond tree blossoms means. It means that the hair grows gray or silver. And I think also when the tree blossoms, the blossoms begin to fall. So too does the hair. It begins to fall right off the top of the head.
I also know about the phrase, the grasshopper drags himself along.
It refers to the difficulty that some older people have in getting around.
Then there's the capperberry.
The capperberry, by the way, was known for its aphrodisiac qualities. And sometimes as we age, we're not as able as we once were and wish we still could. Staying in verse 5, we find further information involving the difficulties that come with age.
And it's because we are headed toward the eternal home. As we age, there's no hope, regardless of what they may say on commercials on TV. As we age, there is no hope of regaining the vitality of our youth. It isn't going to happen no matter what pill we take. No matter how many vitamins we take, it's not coming back.
We are on a path. We are on a path that proceeds steadily and consistently until death comes. And that path that leads to death is shorter for some than it is for others. Yet all are eventually going to come to their eternal home. And when that happens, the mourners come out. Think of it as the funeral that we're all going to be the main character at sooner or later. Unless the Lord Jesus returns before that time. Brethren and friends, Solomon, the preacher in Ecclesiastes, is telling us something very, very important. And even though it's been talking about old age, he's telling us something very important even for the young. And that is, we do not have an unlimited amount of time here on this earth. We do not have forever to figure out the matters of life. And I think that may be the most important point that Solomon is making in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Talking about these evil days, these wicked days, these troublesome days. If you look back in chapter 12 at verses 6 and 7, I want us to note that Solomon uses four metaphors to defer to death. The first of the metaphors is the idea of a silver cord being broken. I don't know if you ever just sit down and think about it, but life is inherently valuable. Every life. And it is like a precious metal, a precious gift. And yet life itself is supported by a thin, breakable cord. That's the image that is being used here. And it's not that of a life being taken. No, it is that of a life worn by age until it finally breaks. The second metaphor is the idea of the golden bowl is crushed. The fact that the bowl is golden implies right there the value of life and the great loss that comes when it occurs. And then the third and the fourth metaphor are found with these words. The pitcher by the well is shattered, and the wheel at the cistern is crushed. The image is that of a pulley that is at the top of a well, the mechanism over the top of a well or a cistern. And by it or through it, the pitcher is able to be let down into the water and then pulled up again as the pulley makes its circle and the rope brings the pitcher back up. Well, the image that is being shown here is that it breaks apart. And why does it break apart? It breaks apart because it becomes too weak to support the weight of the pitcher. And the image is that of the whole mechanism from the wheel to the pitcher going crashing down to the very bottom of the well or the very bottom of the cistern. Why? Well, it had functioned so well for so long, but time gets in the way. And time takes its toll. As we journey through life,
realizing that the evil days are coming,
we just have to get our priorities in the right order. We simply must seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, as we are told in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33.
Solomon described that journey as a time filled with deterioration of physical and mental abilities.
And the ultimate end result from a physical standpoint is death. And then death occurs. And no one knows when that's going to happen. But death occurs, and then the opportunities are gone. Whether it is a young person who dies, a middle-aged person who dies, or an older person who dies, when death comes, there is no more chance to make correction. There is no more chance to remember our Creator once the end arrives.
While we have life, while we have breath,
now is the time. Now is the time to learn how to live. Now is the time to give God the proper attention and place in our lives that He deserves. Not tomorrow. Now is the time. And we all need to take the time that God has granted us to
make serious self-assessment.
Are we where we need to be in our walk with God? Let me make that more personal. Are you where you need to be in your walk with God? Ask yourself and be honest. And if the answer is no, then all of us who answer no need to make the necessary changes. Because if you're not already in the evil or difficult days, they're coming if you live long enough. And there's no guarantee of that. This is the time you have. Now is the time.
And I can tell you from experience, if you're younger and you still have that vigor and that vim about you,
the days are coming. The days are coming. I want to look at one more verse from Ecclesiastes chapter 12 before we bring this lesson to a close this morning. I'd like you to look with me at verse 11 of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Solomon wrote these words. He said, "The words of a wise man are like goads, and masters of these collections are like well-driven nails. They are given by one shepherd." I particularly want to focus our attention upon that phrase, well-driven nails. You may have a translation that says planted nails. You know what I think is happening? I think Solomon is saying that he wanted his words to stick. What I mean by that is when you are building something, let's say you're putting up drywall, when you put those nails in there or the screws, you want to hit the stud. And it's kind of like Solomon is viewing his readers as studs and what he said as nails. And it is very, very important that the carpenter have the right nails, so to speak, which Solomon had, which were the very words of God, and he had to know where the studs are. Or in other words, he had to know the people to whom he was teaching and to whom he was preaching and exhorting, studs to which the words would stick. Well, what kind of stud are you? Are the words from God going to stick? Or is the construction simply going to collapse? Not stick? And not have the meaning that it is meant to have?
And the carpenter has to do it right.
No one wants a carpenter that isn't able to hit a nail in the right place. And just so, no one wants a preacher or a teacher who has not taken time to make sure that what he says is right and absolutely true according to God's Word. But you know what? The preacher is only one part of the equation. You have to hear the Word and be careful how one hears the Word so that it'll stick. Be one of those studs, so to speak, into which the nail can be well driven and it'll make a difference in your life. Like Solomon said, we need to become masters of these collections. Collections of what? The wisdom teaching of Solomon, which of course has God as their source. And so, I'm going to ask you, where are you right now? Are you in a position where you look down the path of life and it doesn't seem to you like the evil days or the wicked days or the troublesome times are going to come? Because you're young. You're full of strength. You're full of vigor. You're ready to go out there and conquer the world. Well, the time's coming. But then again, you may not know how long you do live. And none of us are guaranteed that we're going to be able to come back here for this evening's lesson. The time to do something is now. Before the evil days come. Or if you've arrived at the evil days and are not living as you should, fix it now before the golden bowl is crushed and the silver cord is broken. So are you a member of the body of Christ? Are you a Christian? If the answer to that question is no, seriously consider your plight, and that's what it is. You are living a most dangerous life. Because we don't know when the Lord is going to come back. And when He comes back, it's too late then. And consider every minute that He's given you as a blessing and a manifestation of His grace. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Because He is. Allow that belief to be true, saving Bible faith. And Bible faith involves obedience. Allow that faith to move you where you will repent of your sins. Jesus said, I tell you no, but except you repent, you will all likewise perish. Confess your faith in Jesus as the Son of God. And I must tell you that if you truly believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, I don't know how you keep from telling people that. And then be buried with our Lord Jesus in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins, from which you will arise, born again, a new creature, and on the road that is populated only by Christians, and that is the road that leads to heaven. I'll tell you what, no matter what you grow up to be in this life, no matter how your life turns out, no matter how wealthy you are, no matter how many people know your name, no matter how famous you may be, no matter how much power you may have, if you miss heaven, you have missed it all. So if you are subject to the call of the gospel, please come forward now as we stand and sing.
Zion's ghost, we...